Thank you for tuning in to the Royals in Action broadcast today. Your participation means a lot to us. The essence of this program is to educate you on how to apply the Word of God practically to bring about positive outcomes in your daily situations. And joining us for this insightful journey is R.K. Achina.
Now, last week, we dove into a very powerful subject, the power you are hiding from you. We took a good look at what God imparted to man when he breathed life into Adam. We saw four things. We saw spirit, likeness, identity, and reason. Glory to God. Today, we are going to focus even more on what he's given us. We are going to look into more of what God has given us and talk specifically about the power of faith that has been imparted to every believer. And I'm very hopeful that God wants to take you deeper, to cause you to grow, and to bring you into a new dimension of his goodness by the time this service is over. Amen. Now, what else did God give man when he breathed into Adam? Write it down. God gave man will. God gave man will, the ability to will, the ability to choose, the ability to desire and direct their own actions. People always ask this question a lot. If God knew Adam and Eve would sin, why didn't he stop them? Write this down if you've ever wondered about this question too. First of all, true love, trust, and relationships can only exist where there is the freedom to choose. Remember that. God was looking for a relationship, not forced obedience. He didn't want us to just follow rules or behave out of habit. No. He wanted a genuine relationship with us. So if God forced obedience on Adam and Eve, that would have been like a programmed response. Is somebody with me? You see, love needs freedom to exist. It means being able to choose to love or not and still choosing love. Without this freedom, it's not really love at all, because genuine love must be offered freely. Is that part clear? So that's number one. Number two, if God had wanted robots, he could have simply created us to never sin. Have you thought about that? But God desires relationship, not programming. He gave us free will, already knowing we might still make mistakes. Most people think that God was testing Adam to see if he would sin. That's not right at all. I don't know where that idea came from, but I'm sorry. That doesn't make sense to me. You see, tests and experiments are done to learn something new or learn whether something would succeed or fail. God wasn't testing to learn something new because he already knew what would happen. Am I making sense? God gave Adam and Eve a choice, allowing them to decide for themselves. This is what a true relationship is all about. When you freely choose to love and follow God, not from being programmed or forced to do so, that's true relationship. So you can see that God does this in other parts of scripture. When you read the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15, it says, "Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. And when you read Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, it shows God's heart in this. It says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and a curse. Therefore, choose life. Is somebody with me? Therefore, choose life. Even in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, Jesus says, we can choose between two paths, a wide road leading to destruction and a narrow road leading to life. And when you read John 3:16, it also points to this direction when it said, God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. And that if we choose to believe in Jesus, we will have eternal life. Beloved, a lot of scriptures point to this free will God gives to mankind. Number three, the fact that God knows the future or the outcome does not mean he takes our freedom to choose or the consequences that come with those choices. Very, very profound. How do I even explain this? Take, for instance, a father teaching his young son to ride a bicycle for the first time. The father already knows that his son will certainly lose balance and fall as he learns, doesn't he? He does. And so because of this foreknowledge of the outcome, does that mean the father should stop the son from trying? No. The father's foreknowledge does not take away the son's freedom to try and even fail. So even though the father knows a fall is coming, he does not stop his son from trying. The father understands that learning to ride with all the risk and challenge is necessary for his son's growth, his confidence, and his independence. But you see, because he knows the fall is likely, the father prepares in advance. He makes sure a first aid kit is ready. He stays close to catch the son if possible, and he is ready to comfort and encourage his son, helping him to get back up and try again. So the same way, since God already knew the outcome, he prepared in advance. When you read 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 20, it says, he, talking about Jesus, indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Jesus was chosen even before the foundation of the world. When you read Revelation 13, verse number 8, it says, Jesus was the lamb that was slain even before the foundations of the earth. That's the kind of God we serve. Rather than God removing human will, he prepared a way of redemption even before humanity sinned. And that is the way through Christ. You see, God is very gracious, and he's a loving father, isn't he? God understood that the experience of falling, being helped up, and learning to ride becomes a story of growth, relationship, and grace. So in the end, God's love and foreknowledge made provision for our restoration and not for our control. Amen. So that's a wrap for the fifth point. God giving Adam will, the power to choose, and animals don't have that. Number six, God gave man the ability to dominate. He gave mankind the authority over the rest of creation. Genesis 1 verse 26 to 28, it says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Amen. That word rule is talking about care, responsible stewardship and authority. It means mankind is entrusted with the management and preservation of the earth and its creatures. It means we are in charge. It means if things fall out of place, we put it back in place. It means if things fall out of place, we don't have to call God to put it back in place. We have the authority. We have the responsibility. We must put it back in order, and then God will call and ask what we did about it. Amen. Someone might say, "You don't understand, Pastor. I'm only human." You are not only human. You are not just a biological entity. No. You are also the dominant entity. Are you following me? You are also more than a conqueror. You are also a royal priesthood. You are also a co-heir with Christ, reigning with him over the world. Can I get a big amen? So if the locusts and the caterpillars and the cankerworms are spotted eating your harvest, your business, your relationship, your health, you don't need to call Angel Gabriel. You don't need to call God. You don't need to call Lord Jesus Christ. It's right there in Genesis 1:28. You are created to rule over every creeping thing. Now, where do you categorize the locusts, the caterpillars, and the cankerworms? They are creeping things. Therefore, you take a stand and say, "Enough is enough, you locusts and caterpillars from the pit of hell. I command you to move out of my business, out of my relationship, out of my marriage, and be cast into the sea in Jesus' name." Hallelujah. So we have the ability to dominate, and any mouse don't have that. Now, the last thing God gave us when he breathed into Adam, he gave us what we call a sixth sense. A sixth sense. Aside from taste, smell, touch, sight, and hearing, God gave Adam a sixth sense, and that sixth sense is called faith. Oh, somebody don't get it. This is how I define faith. Faith is the ability to perceive God and his realities as established facts through the eyes of the heart, seeing beyond the physical realm. Oh, somebody don't get it. Let me repeat. Faith is the ability to perceive God and his realities as established facts through the eyes of the heart, seeing beyond the physical realm. Is somebody with me? Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is." Now, faith is what allows you to perceive that God is real and that he exists without any physical evidence. Faith is what allows you to perceive that Jesus is real and that he came to die for you and me, even though we were physically absent to see the events unfold ourselves. That's why the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When you read the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 8 downwards, it talks about the story where Elisha and his servant are surrounded by the king of Aram's army with horses and chariots. His servant panicked and asked Elisha, "What are we to do?" Let's read from 2 Kings. Chapter 6, verse 16 downwards. Elisha answered, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. That's what we call faith, being able to perceive God and his realities as established facts through the eyes of the heart, seeing beyond the physical realm. Amen. Now let me break it down for you, if you are still struggling to understand this. Look at wireless technologies like Bluetooth or Wi-Fi. We can't see the waves that enable our devices to connect to the internet or pair with other devices, but we know they are there because we can feel their effects. Can't we? We can, because we can feel their effects. For instance, when you are streaming music from your phone to a speaker via Bluetooth, you can't see the signal being transmitted, but you can definitely hear the music playing, right? Same way, faith allows us to see the existence of God and his promises as established facts, even though we can't physically see him with our physical eyes. If faith were a physical sense, it would be like having a special kind of vision that enables us to see those invisible waves and signals that our devices transmit around us. Are you understanding it? Good. So before we continue, I'm going to need you to hold these two thoughts for a moment so you can understand better what I'm going to say. And when I say man, I don't mean a male. I mean mankind, including both man and woman. So take note of that. Now, the first thought is God is a spirit. God is a spirit. Jesus said that in John 4 verse 24, that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the second thought is God has chosen not to interact with the planet Earth except through a human vessel or a man. And it's not just God. All spiritual beings don't have the right to this physical world except through a body. This is clear in Genesis 1:26, where God himself said that let us make man in our image and according to our likeness, and let them have dominion. God puts man in charge. So if you need money from God, if you need healing, if you need deliverance, if you need anything, if you need God to supply your needs, God is going to need a man to come to you. God will use a body to lay hands on you and heal you and provide your needs. Hallelujah. You see, when man needed salvation, God didn't simply wave his hand or snap his fingers to bring salvation. He had to work through a human being, Mary, and poof, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and Jesus was conceived in human flesh. You know why? Because God cannot violate his word. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 138, for you have magnified your word above your name. God has exalted his word above his name. Amen. Now hold these two thoughts real quick as we try to understand what happened in the Garden of Eden. The first thought, God is a spirit being. And the second thought, God has chosen not to interact physically with this world except through man or a body. Now, when you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, we learn that God would walk in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day to fellowship with Adam and Eve. How amazing is that? Now, it can be inferred that this interaction wasn't physical, because we know God is a spirit being and Adam and his wife were in human bodies. However, it is very likely that they were able to perceive God in a very personal and tangible way. The Bible doesn't give us the full picture on this, but through the clues in the Bible and the help of the Holy Spirit, we are able to sort of understand how things played out. So as you can see, Adam and Eve's ability to sense and connect with God didn't rely on physical sight, as it is not possible for humans being flesh and blood to physically interact with spiritual beings. Talk of seeing the Almighty God. John 1:18 says, "No one has ever seen God." Because our human eyes were designed to see physical things, so it's not possible to interact and connect with spiritual beings through physical means. Oh, somebody don't get it. It's just like trying to hold water vapor with your hands. No matter how hard you try, you can't hold on to it because it exists in a different state. Is somebody with me? So there ought to be something that made Adam interact with God, who is a spirit being. And that something is Adam's sixth sense, which is called faith. Now think about it. How did Adam even know that he was created by a creator? How could he know God's presence? Under what circumstance did Adam meet God for the first time? Beloved, all these were made possible because of faith, his sixth sense. Listen, as all wise and knowledgeable as our God is, how could he have made mankind according to his likeness without a way to interact with him? It doesn't even make sense when you think about it. Even human innovators who create robots design them with a means of communication. Remember, God created mankind because he wanted a relationship, and there is no relationship without communication. Amen. So it was through faith that they could know God's presence and interact with him as a reality. Faith is like seeing the invisible, just as we know Bluetooth and Wi-Fi exist by its effects. Adam and Eve, their faith was unaffected by sin at this point, so their perception of God and his presence was extremely clear, was strong, and was uninterrupted. We know this because the Bible says in Genesis 2:25 that, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? This means that Adam and Eve were incorruptible. How can you be naked and not be ashamed? Unless your faith and relationship with God were so strong that you don't see yourself in nakedness through the lens of shame or guilt. So you see, their perception was not focused on themselves, but on God. Their faith, their sixth sense, was the dominant lens through which they experienced life. If faith were a form of technology, I would say their faith signal was extremely high. It had about 10 bars. Are you with me? I need you to understand that it wasn't about their physical state being hidden. It was about their faith. It was so pure and strong that their faith eyes were primarily fixed on spiritual realities and not on the physical reality. It's as if they were plugged into a spiritual reality that was more real to them than the physical world around them. You know, it's similar to wearing a virtual reality headset where your physical senses are overridden by the immersive experience, causing you to lose awareness of your surroundings. So the same way their faith had become so consuming that it took over their physical senses, making the spiritual more real to them than anything else, including their nakedness. That's why Paul said, "We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Adam and his wife, their focus wasn't on their physical selves, but on God's glory and the perfection of their relationship with Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you read Genesis 3:7, that was after Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked." This really shows a significant change in how they saw things. Am I right? But what actually changed? Let's quickly look at that. What really changed? You see, before the fall, their faith, their sixth sense had been so pure, so high, and so strong, which had enabled them to perceive God's presence and His spiritual realities, that they were able to interact with God effortlessly. But as soon as they disobeyed, sin entered the picture. Their spiritual connection with God was shut. Sin had broken that network. That's why the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 59 verse 2 that your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us in this enlightening journey today. Before we wrap up, subscribe to our podcast so you're kept in the loop about our next amazing episodes. To join our community or support our ministry, click the link in the description or visit royalsinaction.org. Until next time, Royals in Action is here to remind you to embrace your destiny as a chosen channel of God's royalty. God bless you.